It's time for some business news. There are plenty of ways to rip off the federal government: income tax fraud, Medicare fraud, defense contractor fraud, and the one you rarely hear about, agriculture fraud. With the U.S. Treasury paying out more than $16 billion a year in crop subsidies, some farmers are getting greedy, and as NPR's John Burnett reports, some are getting caught.
At one time, Kenny Goodman was one of the biggest cotton farmers and biggest recipients of federal subsidies in the country. Between 1998 and 2000, his farming empire in the Mississippi Delta swelled from fewer than 10,000 acres to 40,000 acres. In order to multiply the checks from the U.S. Treasury, Goodman set up a complex web of 78 different corporations and partnerships. But the names should have been a tip-off that something was fishy: Megabucks Incorporated, Get Rich Inc., and Easy Money Inc.
This is, if not the biggest, one of the biggest program subsidy fraud cases ever prosecuted in the United States.
John Dowdy is the federal prosecutor who made the case. Last month, a federal judge in Jackson, Mississippi, sentenced Kenneth Goodman to 5 years in prison for wire fraud, mail fraud, and obstruction of justice. He was ordered to make restitution of $11.2 million in cotton subsidies that he got from the government over 3 years. His brother and his accountant were also convicted, but received lesser punishments.
The more land that Kenneth Goodman had, the more entities he could create, the more he could get by way of farm subsidies. Greed overrode common sense, and the defendant in this case went way beyond where he ever should have in defrauding the government.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture makes it easy for an American farmer to collect subsidies. They can break their farming operation into numerous corporate entities, and each one is eligible to collect subsidies for corn, wheat, cotton, or other commodities. The catch is, members of the corporations have to be actively engaged in farming. That's where Kenny Goodman got into trouble. Rob Trammell is a 36-year-old farmer who says he was bankrupt because of his involvement with the Goodmans.
There were actually people that were being basically used. Their names and their Social Security numbers were being used to draw government subsidy payments, and they were not doing any work at all, which is, you know, obviously against the law.
There are also farmers who defend Goodman, though none would speak on the record. Too deep in debt to farm on their own, these farmers say Goodman invited them to join his giant cotton operation and help them make money. Goodman refused a request for an interview. His defense attorney is Wayne Dowdy, prosecutor John Dowdy's uncle.
And I don't care what the government says, Kenny Goodman did not receive that $11 million. It was paid to those farmers to farm their farming operations, and most of those farmers today are still operating those farms because of what occurred.
But even if some of the profits trickle down to honest farming partners, it's still dirty money, says prosecutor John Dowdy.
The judge alluded to it in the sentencing hearing and said that would be like stealing $1 million from the bank and saying, well, there was really nothing wrong with my conduct because I gave $900,000 of it to the church.
The government contends that Goodman and his wife profited handsomely, indirectly using subsidies to build a 6,000-square-foot home in Yazoo City, buy home furnishings and vehicles, and pay off loans. Farmers in the Delta have cringed at the publicity over the Goodman case. As one said, everybody depends on multiple subsidies. Indeed, the whole cotton economy is built on them, and people are afraid the government will widen its probe. In Yazoo City, where cotton is king and kudzu vine claims everything else, nobody wanted to talk about it. Billy Percy, a prominent cotton farmer in Greenville, 75 miles away, says the Goodman case is the exception.
This program is just like any other program. There are people who have figured out how to beat the Medicare program or the food stamp program or any other government program. And I'm sure that there are farmers who have tried to do that. But I think that number is very, very small.
American consumers actually pay for cotton twice. First, when they buy a towel, and second, when they pay their taxes. Cotton gets more federal subsidies than any other crop because it's so expensive to grow. and big farmers are getting bigger. Last year, 80% of cotton subsidies went to just 10% of recipients, according to USDA figures analyzed by the Environmental Working Group, a Washington nonprofit. Likewise, farm subsidy fraud seems to be getting bigger, according to Claire Hochhalter, a federal prosecutor in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Over the last few years, the cases that I have begun to see referred to our office for prosecution have involved greater amounts of money. In other words, the fraud has involved millions of dollars, whereas years ago it might have been thousands of dollars.
The bank robber Willie Sutton, when asked why he robbed banks, famously replied, "Because that's where the money is." The same could be said of farmers who flim-flam the Mammoth Agriculture Payment Program. Greg Brooker is assistant U.S. attorney in Minneapolis, where he's currently working a $4 million crop subsidy fraud case.
There's an awful lot of money in these farm bills. I believe the one that President Bush signed in 2002 that's good for 5 years is about $190 billion. And in Minnesota alone, that's $1 billion a year coming in. And with these farm bills getting larger and larger, there's a coordinated effort to ferret out that fraud and make that a priority as well.
There's some indication the Agriculture Department recognizes there's a problem. State and local USDA officials, long criticized for their reluctance to investigate their farming clients, have begun training to better spot fraud and help catch crooked farmers. With agriculture fraud seemingly on the rise, federal prosecutors clearly want to make an example out of Kenny Goodman. John Burnett, NPR News.